Everyone, welcome back to the Dad's Podcast, Episode 2. In this episode, I meet with an old friend, Daniel Jaramillo, who reminds us in this episode to just dress up for your family. You get up every day, you get dressed, you put a smile on, you go to work. You know, you're kind and cordial to the people at work and out in the real world, and then you come home, and sometimes you don't give that same person to your family, and they get to see, you know, well, I had a bad day and I was kind of a jerk or that kind of person. So dress up and give your best self to your family. You give it to the rest of the world. So don't you think your family deserves the best instead of just everything that's left over after a long day? Hope you enjoy the show. Hug your kids and tell them you love them. All right. Welcome back to the Dad's Podcast. Discussions about dad stuff. Today I'm with an old friend, Dan Jaramillo. We've been friends since middle school. So I'm going to let him introduce myself, and then we'll get into what it means for each one of us to be a dad and how raised in the same town and all that affected us.
Yeah, you know, what's up there, Dadland? Yeah, Daniel Jaramillo. It's, super honored to be here and be here with our friend, Mr. Pelham, who I've known since, I guess about the middle school time frame where we grew up right here in Broomfield, Colorado.
Yep. All right, why don't you tell me a little about your family, like how you were raised, you know, both parents, brothers, sisters, siblings, all that stuff?
Yeah, so we actually were originally from Alamosa, Colorado, and there's four of us boys. I'm the youngest, best for last, as I like to tell them, that mom and dad actually finally realized what perfection looked like. They were striving for perfection, and that's when they stopped with me, so that's what I tell them all the time. Yeah, there's four of us, but I did come from a home where both of my folks were there and were quite involved in how we grew up, and then we came up to Broomfield right around that middle school time frame. But we had just a great family still stays fairly close together now, but there's a lot of history in how I believe that came to be based on the history that my dad had with his dad and just kind of the changes that he made or wanted to make and the type of father he wanted to be when he had his kids. So
nice. And did you know your grandfather?
Not my dad's. I didn't. Yeah. He had passed on before. I don't think any of the brothers knew our grandfather. I did know the grandfather on my mom's side.
Right.
But not real well. Yeah. The relationships were, you know, maybe not as tight.
Right. At that level. It wasn't necessarily an influence in your childhood.
Definitely not an influence at the grandparent level.
Yeah. Nice. And as far as your parents go, I mean, religion, how were you raised? Strict? Were you raised pretty open?
Super strict.
Yeah?
Very strict. Yeah, we weren't, especially up until middle school, we weren't allowed to listen to anything that wasn't Christian music.
Oh, yeah?
I remember my brother Mike, when he was a seventh grader, perhaps sixth, seventh grader, got a Michael Jackson poster from a guy at his birthday, and he wasn't allowed to put it on the wall. And so the compromise was my dad let him have it out underneath his bed. And so there was this Michael Jackson poster. It was the Bad from the Bad album cover.
Right.
Like rolled out real nice underneath my brother's bed. So that's... No, it was fairly strict. We were a Christian house. But I think as we grew up and my older brothers got in high school, that my parents started to allow some of the freedoms. But there was always still this overarching Christian type foundation that we had in our house.
Yeah. Do you have a good relationship with your dad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. All in all, my dad's incredible. He's, I think that what's one of the nice things that I've always appreciated about my dad is I don't think he was just a good father to us in the way he led us. I certainly wasn't perfect, right? Even as the father that I am today, I look at the things I really appreciated about him and the things that I would have appreciated as well. But all in all, he's an exceptional father.
Yeah.
And even I found that there were times where I would have friends at my house leaving when I would be coming home from school or practice. And it would be weird to me because I would come walking in and I'd be like, oh, I'm home now. Were you waiting for me so we could hang out? And they weren't. I had turned out that they were there seeing my dad.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys I grew up with who use my dad as their father figure that they didn't have. So that's, I think all in all, if I could be, I don't know, not to sound cliche or cheesy, but he's kind of an example of what I would like to become as a father.
Yeah. So you strive in your fatherhood to be what your dad was to you and your brothers.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Awesome. And how many kids do you have?
Two.
Yeah?
Two. Well, I have three children, actually. I have two. I have an 11-year-old little girl. Well, she's not a little girl anymore.
Right.
She reminds me she's not little all the time.
Right.
She's got a mind of her own. And then I have a 3-year-old son, Halo, who we adopted several years ago. Then we had Daniel, who was right in between them. That wasn't quite in his cards to make it on this earth, but he's somebody that we still remember as he's still an active person in this family, as if he hadn't passed away.
So. Right. Well, and I mean, we celebrate his birthday every year with the community, so that's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there any difference from your perspective in adopted children and biological children?
No.
No?
No, I think that it's just a different journey.
Yeah.
That they take. It's, you know, for us, it's important that with Halo, as we've adopted him, that we're not playing that thing where we keep it from him that he was adopted and reveal it to him when he's in his teenage years that you hear folks used to do, that it's just going to be openly talked about.
Right.
Hey, you were adopted, whatever, but the idea that it would be that there is no difference. They're still our kids.
Right.
And somebody had commented about Halo not long ago. They said, man, he is handsome. And I said, have you seen his father? You know, just joking around. Right. They're like, well, what did he look like? I said, he's right here, standing in front of you. So, I think it's so important to not.
Right.
I think that's the foundation of, planting the seed that can grow like Jack and the Beanstalk for a lot of issues down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you have contact with his parents?
No, we don't. Yeah. It's one of what they would call closed type adoption.
Yeah.
But it was a scenario where we were a family that wanted to have more children, but we couldn't do it. And there happened to be some folks out there that were willing to share this child with the family who needed one. And it just worked out that way for us. Yeah.
Perfect. Do you think you're as strict as a dad as your dad was to your kids?
At times.
Yeah.
I think so.
Do you think you raise them with the same religious upbringing? Or do you hope to, I guess?
Not as militant, but the same perspective.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest, what I'd really love to do is just to expose my children to that and to teach them the perspective.
Right.
But what I don't want to have is, I think even in my life, that you go along into a certain time period. For me, it was like my early 20s when you had been taught to believe something, but what did you really think?
Right.
And there was a moment that, or a difficulty that I had in my life at that time where I had to believe what I believed because that's what I believed,
right,
not because what I was taught. And so I'm trying to put that into my kids to where I can expose them, I can teach them, I show them perspective, but ultimately I want them to, I'm trying to choose in their own brains what's right, what they should believe in versus what they don't. And so far, I mean, they're still young, that they're, I think Kyler probably teaches me more lessons than I teach her right now.
Yeah.
She brings it back to reality for me.
Right. So, that's awesome. Awesome. And like, I mean, as far as goals for your kids and for being a dad, like, is college something you're forcing? Is college something that you hope for? Like, you know, when you look at your kids and say, this is where I want you to be in life, is it successful? Is it educated? Is it happy? Like, where do you think you want your kids to end up if it was your choice?
Yeah. Well, I choose happy. It's got to start there.
Right.
And then it says, well, what foundation can build into happiness for a child?
Right.
And so, you know, it's building that confidence, that self-esteem, that thick skin, that feeling of self-worth and just all those different pieces that go into play. And I use sports as the foundation to build that. And that's what we do. And so my daughter does gymnastics because I think that a sport like that is the best way to teach a child to fall and get up again and fall and get up again and continue to strive for greatness and just pursue it. Just the pursuit of something and knowing that what it takes to get there. Because as much as people would love to quit their jobs and be happy and do nothing, there's an incredible amount of emptiness that comes from that. And so if I can build the character in my daughter to pursue whatever it is, I really don't care what it is after that. And so if she wants to go to college and be a doctor, then she's going to have the skill set and the characters to know what she's going to have to do to become a doctor, because that's hard work. An attorney, some of those real specialized type careers are difficult. So I think that... as they belong to what I push in them, I'm going to push them in ways to build that so that when their minds can think for themselves and we'll allow them to do that, they can pursue whatever makes the most sense.
Nice.
But I'm also of the mindset that I think college, unless you're specializing, is something to definitely consider.
Right. I mean, I think, it's a real issue right now. People are taking on all this debt and coming out with nothing. You know, and they're like, oh, what do you mean I have to go to work 50 hours a week to make $65,000 a year? Like, I have an education.
Yeah,
good
I
for
just
you.
Spent $200,000 to become an art history major. And I can only make $35,000 doing that. So, and that's it. And so I want to, by teaching, by the what we kind of employ here is if we can get them to logic that out.
Right.
And to understand basically the rules of economics, cause and effect, that they can be able to get to that point and say, you know, I might be most happy doing this.
Right.
I could go to trade school for that.
And I think one thing from our generation to this generation is also we didn't have a choice of later in life. You went to college out of high school. That was just how things went. Like, if you went to college, you went out of high school.
You wanted to get a job, you had to have a degree, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm 43 and starting everything over with this podcast and with what I'm trying to do here. It's like, I can go to college anytime I want. I can get to a point where I'm like, okay, where I'm at is not where I want to be, and I will take on $100,000 in debt to get to where I need to be at 35 or at 50.
Yeah.
Who cares, you know? But I think that's a huge difference in our generation.
Definitely.
You know, because today we look at, okay, well, is it what you want to do? You know, my daughter's going to go to college, but it's going to cost her $9,000 a year because of military and in-state tuition and all this other stuff that she has benefits from. So, I'm like, you know, she doesn't know what she wants to do.
Yeah.
Well, 30 grand, okay.
Yeah.
You're going to buy your first car, is probably going to cost you more than 30 grand. So I'll deal with that debt.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I told her, if you don't know what you want to do, why are you doing this? It's what I'm supposed to do. Well,
nailed.
Who says?
Yeah.
Who says you're supposed to? You know?
Yeah. And I think as dads, that if we have that perspective now, so why would we tell our kids how it's supposed to be versus what it can be? And that if we can teach them to have an attitude, an aptitude, and a work ethic. That's what the three things that I map to, that if I can build an attitude of optimism, if I can build an attitude of glass half full, not an attitude of poor me, feel bad for me, but oh, my situation stinks, what am I going to do about that? And so if I can build that in them, and then the aptitude, can they learn quickly? Can they learn from their mistakes? Can they have a vision and just go build it with the aptitude to learn and establish?
Right.
And then a work ethic, are you willing to get out of bed without anybody forcing you to, and go and make something happen?
Right.
If I can put those three things in, college, whatever, they'll be fine the rest of their lives.
Right. Well, and I think work ethic comes to happiness too.
Yeah.
Because if you get up and do what makes you happy, it's not work. You know, you can go work 12 hours, 14 hours and do something you hate. And it's work every day.
Yeah.
You can go do 12 or 14 hours of work that you love, and it's not work every day.
Yeah.
You're satisfied. You're like, okay, this is cool. You know, it's not,
Definitely.
Oh crap, I got to get up. It's Monday. Like, you know, I think we need to erase kind of as a generation of dads, the worries of Mondays. Like, find something you love to do so Monday doesn't suck. Like, I want it to be, oh man, I get to go back to work on Monday. Thank God, because I'm bored of sitting around for the last 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of cleaning my house and doing laundry.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to do my work or my job.
Yeah.
I think that's something we need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you talked about gymnastics. I think that sport in itself, my kids did it, is amazing. Because there isn't an eighth place trophy in gymnastics.
Mm-mm.
There isn't a participation ribbon in gymnastics. You're either the top three, or you got to continue to work harder.
You have to pull your own weight.
Right. I mean, that's it.
As an individual.
Yeah. You know, and I think that the coaching in gymnastics is amazing. Because when I started, they said straight up, your kids are never going to make the Olympics. And if that's why you're here, go find another gym.
Yeah.
You know, and it's real. Like, I think too many kids today are bred to, you're going to play football. Well, no, you're not. Like, bottom line, you're not going to make the pros. Hopefully you make a college scholarship, but you're not going to make the pros. But I think a lot of parents look at it that, oh, I'm going to hold my kid back a year so he's older so that he can play football so that he can go to pros. And he's not going to the pros. Like, you know, I think that's another thing that as parents and dads, we need to get past what we want for our kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a huge hang up is, what do we want for our kids? Oh, I want my kid to be a doctor, or I want my kid to be a professional football player. You know, what did your kid want? You know, that should be a focus for dads.
Yeah.
You know? And
absolutely, man.
How do you get to what my kid wants? You know, and had someone, my dad at 40 said 40 isn't old.
and explain that concept. Like, when I got to 40, I'm like, man, I don't feel any different at 40 than I did at 20. But when I was 20, I thought 40 was old. Old. I'm like, man, my dad is old.
Yeah, man.
Like, his life is over.
Yeah.
Nothing. He's got to do work for the next 20 years and retire. You get to 40, and you're like, it's not old. If we can teach our kids that, I think that would help a ton, too. Like, you got four lives to live from high school. You get out of high school, you still got four more lives to live from there. You can do a lot in that time. You know, and I don't think we were raised that way. Go to school, get a job, do what you're supposed to do. And I think it comes from the 50s and 60s where men went to work and the wife stayed home. But I don't think we've generationally pulled out of that with our kids.
Yep.
We still hold them to the same standards of you need to get a college education and you need to, this is what I want for you. You know, where you said, I want to be happy and be able to function as a human being. There's no sense of entitlement. And I think that's a big problem we have too, as, you know, as
Definitely.
Dads. How do we not give our kids a sense of entitlement? You know, right. Yeah, you want your kids to have everything and you want to give them the world, but
it's tough.
They have to work for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we don't have everything because we have to work for it.
Yep.
You know? And yeah, the people that do have everything, like I try and explain to my kid, like those people are probably two paychecks away from broke. Like, yeah, you got a nice house on the hill and a nice car, but what's that $5,000, $6,000 a month looking like in your real bank account? You're making 10, you're paying 6 for a car and a house? Well,
yeah. I think that's a great point on being candy-coated, false, I don't know what the right word would be, but just the way that it's posturing. That's the right word.
Right.
It's being a poser or a pretender. And
right.
You can buy all the, like, the nicest things, but does that mean that you're actually successful? Or does that mean that you're an idiot?
Or does it mean you're happy?
Does that mean you're happy? And what is happy? Is it authentic happy? Or is
right.
it until that moment that you don't have a foundation of happiness and you're done? You just
right.
tank off hard. And that's,
right.
I think that's important. I think you're nailing it, that you can give your kids an opportunity to establish self-worth when they can feel that they can go out and earn something, create something, and ultimately get rewarded for that thing,
right.
that you're hindering your children by giving them everything. And even especially as my daughter becomes a tweenie, right? She's, the what she needs from me now is a whole lot different from what she needed from me even just 6 months ago and 3 years ago. But if
right.
you, so it can't be something that's like the same always,
right.
I believe
right.
you got to tweak with who they are, what they need, what they understand, where I know that right now, she needs me to lay the hammer on her a lot less than
right.
I usually do, and she's going to need my support, and so she has a place of validation.
Right.
But then I can teach her the foundations of self-worth and going on and
right.
using me as her anchor as she goes through some really awkward years. And
yeah.
I'm catching myself every day on
that. Absolutely.
So, yeah, because if I'm not careful, entitlement will get nasty when
right.
girls become teenagers.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think catching yourself every day is a big thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, and holding yourself responsible. Because I can tell you, like, I can't tell you how many times I've lost it on my kid. Yelled, snapped, whatever.
Yep.
Went, reflected on what I did and was like, dude, sorry, none of that was your shit. I'm having
yep.
a bad day. My work sucks. I'm a little stressed on money. Like, there's 100 things that are wrong with my day. You
right.
aren't one of them. Yeah, you could play Xbox less, but I'm not really that upset that you're playing Xbox. And I'm sorry that I lost my shit. Which I think is something we need as parents to get to, you know, as
right.
even a male community. I think women are better at it, better at apologizing and better calling their own shit than men are, because we're just going to say, yeah, I screwed up. Well, what are you going to do about it? You know, how do you fix that? Do you fix that? And I think that's an issue a lot of dads have. Yeah, I shouldn't have lost my shit, but I'm too proud to go apologize to my kid. Okay, well, what's he learning? What's she learning? I can
yep.
lose my shit and take all my problems out on someone else and then just walk away from it, and it's
yeah.
okay. Like, I think that's something we need to focus on as parents and as dads, is letting our emotions come out and say,
yeah.
you know, like you said, check yourself every day.
Yeah.
Hourly, if
yeah.
you need to, you know. Are you having a bad day and taking it out on your kid? Or is your kid really being a pain in the ass?
Yep.
Like, which one is it?
Yep.
You know, and is it fair? 'Cause how do you, at 12, how do you process that? We processed it as strict parents.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't push my dad any further than this because I know he's going to get pissed. I had no at 12 years old, I had no comprehension of he might just be having a really shitty day.
Yeah.
And he's taking it out on me for no reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah. I mean, kids today, I think, deserve that. And I think that will somewhat eliminate your sense of entitlement, is saying, you know what? I'm sorry, and it wasn't your shit. Okay, well, good for you. You know, you took responsibility for your shit, so I have to take responsibility for mine as a kid. Like,
nailed it.
You know, they'll come back to you and be like, Dad, I'm sorry I yelled at you. Like,
yeah.
I got into a fight with a friend at school today and had nothing to do with you. You'll get that from your kid if you give it to him.
Yeah.
100%. Agreed.
I think that's a good point where you're understanding the concepts of, and even for dads, it's you're not going to be perfect.
Right.
A lot of dads who, or even kids, they compare themselves to what they perceive other dads to be doing.
Right. And
good chance they're losing it. They're incredibly imperfect. And so I think to have a healthy foundation as a dad is to understand there's no such thing.
Right.
And then to be able to acknowledge it, accept it, be accountable for it. And then that vulnerability, I think, is really healthy for your kids to see that so that they can understand it's okay not to be perfect and then just right. own it.
Right.
And then what are you going to do about it?
Right. Are and you like gonna, you said, with your yeah. dad, people would come visit your dad. That the guy they visited was not the same guy you saw as your dad. You know what I mean? They
yep.
saw, oh, this guy's cool. He understands. He listens. You know,
yep.
he'll help me out. He'll cheer me on. They didn't see the, dude, you can't wear that shirt. You can't
yeah.
have that put. You're not listening to that music.
Yeah.
Like, they got to leave and do whatever they wanted to
yep.
do. You know, they didn't see the strict side. They saw all the good side.
Yeah.
So I think kids realize, you know, with it being your own parent, you need to be
yep.
able to separate and say, okay, would I treat my kid's friends the way I'm treating my child right now? If my kid's friends were here, would this be the way that I'd be acting?
Right.
Probably not. Why does your kid deserve any less than you're going to give to their friends?
Love it.
You know what I mean? I think that's
Love
an
it.
Important thing to look at. You
Love
know,
it.
I think we're more than privileged to be living where we live. You know, we live in an upper middle class neighborhood.
Yep, I a mean, lot of minivans and soccer moms. Right
absolutely.
Here. Yeah.
You know, and there are people that struggle to live here. And I know
yep.
that there's a lower class that lives in Broomfield. But
yep.
for the most part, we're beyond fortunate of what we have. We live in a safe community. There's no crime. My 10-year-old kid can ride his bike 4 miles away, and I don't worry. Like, I know he's going to get where he's going. He's going to do what he does.
Yep.
He's going to come home at 10 years old. I don't think that's afforded to a lot of people in America, let alone to look at the world. Like, I don't know what that looks like. You know, I'm not there. But I know in America, there's not. I mean, people look at me, and they're like, you're going to let your kid do that? And it's like, yeah, he's got to be independent. He's got to
yep.
grow up. Like, he's 10. I'm like, okay. Like, you know, and I know, like, I don't have anyone to bounce it off of. I don't have a mom there saying, oh, well, let's be safe, or, oh, let's make sure he's, you know, I do what I can and make sure my kid's safe. But I also want him to be able to feel like I can make decisions, whether they're right or wrong, just like as an adult. You make a choice. If it's right or wrong, it's right or wrong. You have to live with those consequences. My kid needs to know that at 10, not be coddled all the way up until 18, sent to college and live a 4-year existence that's not real, and then get into the real world and be like, holy crap, what do you mean I'm responsible to pay these, like, what do you mean I have to
Let
pay these bills?
Let me go back to college again and,
right.
take, and like, take student loans because they keep you afloat.
Right, can I get Yeezys? Can I call Dad and will he loan me money? Like, you know, and I lived, I mean, I was guilty of it. I lived off my parents through my 20s for a while. You know, I knew I had a safety net in my parents. I knew no matter how bad I screwed up, I could call my mom and dad and be like, can't make bills this month. Can you help me out? And they would do
yeah.
it every single time. Whether that was a benefit to me, I don't know. Because I think it took me till my 40s to figure out you're much happier if you don't have to borrow money, you know, and you don't have to live under their expectations.
You don't feel obligated. You don't feel
right.
guilty and
right.
the pressure of all that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my kids come to me, oh, I can't wait till I'm grown up. I can't wait till I'm done and I don't have to live in. Dude, the most, you don't want to live under your parents' rules, stop taking their money. It's that simple. You stop taking your parents' money, guess what? They have no control over you. And I mean, my father was very, I don't want to say strict, but perfectionist almost. Like, I was never going to satisfy him, no matter what I did. I cleaned the house. Well, I cleaned it wrong. I'd put the tools away. Well, they weren't facing the right direction. You know, I'd mow the lawn. Well, I didn't mow it in the correct pattern this week. You know, no matter what, I never, and he passed away last year. Dude, that was the biggest blessing of my life. because I don't have to live under those expectations anymore. And I didn't realize as an adult I was doing it, but I was.
Yeah.
You know, once he passed away, I'm like, dude, it doesn't matter what I do now. I'm not going to have someone riding my ass or coming down on me or telling me I'm not doing it correctly or you should have done it this way or that's a stupid idea. Like, I guarantee if my dad was alive right now listening to this, he'd be like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, how do you think you're going to make money interviewing people and why do you think anyone would want to talk to you? That would be his response to this. Well, when it's your dad saying that, you know what? He's right.
Was he, would he ask you questions like that because he was trying to, in his mind, he thinks he's helping you?
I think so.
Versus saying, Danny's can't do shit.
Right,
he
no.
He was more of saying, give me some, like his intentions were good. It just came off.
And well, and he very much worked every day of his life.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever did anything that made him happy. You know, like I think he went to work and made a paycheck to pay the bills. And that was his role in life. You know, it wasn't, oh, I want to be out and be happy. Like, no. You have responsibilities. I think that's what he was trying to put through to me is, you know, if you can follow your dreams and they're going to pay your bills, great. But what you're telling me right now is you don't know that this is going to pay your bills at the end of the day. So be real and do something that's going to pay your bills. Well, you know, I'm not. Yeah, I need my bills paid, but I'm not going to work 65 hours a week doing something I hate for the next 30 years to get to 70 and be like, damn it, I wish I would have.
The pursuit of happiness.
Right, absolutely.
What is that? Yeah.
You know, good. And it's different for everybody. But and when I grew up with my dad, I hated him. We didn't talk for a decade from 12 to 22. We didn't speak to each other. I had a kid at 30, and that right there made me realize that my dad did the best he could. Because I was a father and I was like, this shit is hard. Like, and I was an asshole. Like, I'm not going to deny that. I was a pain in the ass kid. You can't have an earring. First thing I did was went and got my ear pierced. Like, I'm going to push you. I was in sixth grade. Like, no one else had their ear pierced anywhere that anyone knew of except for...
And you wore Z Cavaricis with leather shoes.
I did.
And a mullet.
I did.
You look good, dude.
I did. But I pushed the... I mean, that was the whole thing. My dad would buy me clothes from the thrift store. Okay, well, you know what? I'm going to get a job and buy my own clothes. Fine. You know, I spent my entire paycheck on one outfit. Was it smart? No. It was rebellious. That was the whole deal. Like, I'm not going to do it your way. You know, but then once we got to a point of I was a father, I'm like, okay, well, he did the best he could. And I didn't know that until I had kids of my own. You know, I think that changed my perspective a lot. And I think had I not had kids, I might not have ever figured that out. I might have just been like, the guy's an asshole.
Man.
End of story.
it's an amazing thing what being a dad can do for your self-worth or learning or perspective or even being therapy to whatever dirty laundry you had as a kid, right?
Like right.
I look at it as a love being a dad. I think it's my first job. I try to keep in mind that as I get distracted with pursuing career aspirations that really to make sure that I'm looking at it, that the whole point of work is to, for me, is to just try to support what I'm trying to be as a husband and as a father. And I want my kids to see work ethic through me, but I want them to see me unplug and check out.
Right, in balance.
But what I don't want to have happen as I learn how to be a father, and learning, like you were saying, it's the therapy that you're getting later is, I think a lot of people get ready for work every day and they brush their teeth, they do their hair, they do whatever it would be, and they go to work and they're cordial. So that when someone's being a royal dick, they smile at them. They can paint that face on, that phony smile, because they don't want to be that person at work. Well, not everyone, some people just don't care.
Right.
But the majority of the folks out there, like, there's a cordialness that and a courtesy that people that they work with get. Then they come home from work and all that's off the table.
Right.
And so when I try to, it is hard as heck because you're tired too.
Right. And not dump the shit on your kids.
To come in and stop and take a break and try to paint that phoniness on your face. Right. That why does my family not get the guy, like on Saturday mornings, get up, dress up for your wife, right? Or your kids and teach them that, and not just for the people who want
to. Well, why don't they get better? Than what you're giving the rest of the
work, world. Right? And that's, I think as dads who listen to this, that's something that when somebody said that to me, I was like, you're stinking right. Like, when I'm frustrated, I'm ready to blow my hat at work, I'm still smiling and I'm playing politically
right.
correct. My family needs that.
Right.
Yeah.
Part of it is, though, it's a safety net, too.
Yeah.
You know you can come home and lose your shit, and they're not going anywhere, and they're still going to love you tomorrow.
That's messed up, though, right?
It is messed up. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where you got to be accountable and be able to come in and say, you know what? Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, last night was not anybody else's problem but mine, and I'm the asshole here. Like, I apologize, you know?
And I think that, listen, I think that, like, in my relationship, I think that there's definitely an equal partnership, and I'm all, you know, moms and dads and all that,
right.
you know, equal stuff that people can talk about, but it has to start somewhere. You can't, that equal collaboration, maybe it's like, the collaboration is the right word. So whether
right.
you're a married dad or a single dad, a divorced dad, whatever it might be, whoever you're collaborating with
right.
to raise your children, somebody has to be the leader and start it. Doesn't mean that you're the leader, that you call the shots, but that you're leading with your actions and your example.
Right.
For that collaborative type thing.
Right.
And so even, and when I do that here, that if I'm not doing it, how can I expect for them to do it? To show me respect, or to treat
right.
their mom with respect, or their grandparents with respect, if I don't do it first?
Right.
Someone's got to be first, and I truly think that's the dad's responsibility. It's not fair. It's not fair, but
right.
I think the dads are the ones who have to go first.
Right.
So that's...
No, I totally agree
with
that.
Who makes first move.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Draw!
And does it get moved? I mean, and does that move get taken? Or do you just come home and be pissed off and angry all day and sit on the couch? I mean, my dad would come home from work, sit in his chair. My mom would make dinner, bring it to him,
mm-hmm.
pick up his plate, do the dishes. My dad would watch whatever he wanted to watch on TV, get up and go to bed. You know, like, I despise that to some degree. Like,
mm-hmm.
do something. You know, if my dad cleaned the house, you knew it. He'd talk about it for a week.
He was milking the
right,
credit.
Look what I did.
Put a ribbon on himself.
Right, you know, it's like, great, you know, mom does that shit every day. Good for you. Like, I'm glad you got off your ass for once in a while and did it. But it worked for them for 50 years. Like, neither one of them were unhappy. And when I was younger, I looked at it like, are you unhappy? Are you satisfied? Are you actually happy in your marriage?
Right.
You know, in retrospect, my mom was very happy. Like, it was what worked for them. I think it was how they were raised. You know, the mom stays home and takes care of the kids. Dad goes to work. He comes home, dinner's on the table. You do the dishes. Like, I think that's how they were raised in both their families. So it worked for them. You know, but from my perspective, I'm like, really? Like, how is this equal? Like, mom's doing all the shit around the house, taking care of all the kids, and you go to work and bring home a paycheck? Like, and as you get older, you realize, like, yeah, you know, work is something that is there. But I do think the home life balance and the balance at home is huge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with or without a mom in play, right?
Right.
And even in earlier, I was saying, at different stages in life, the kids will learn from it. They'll learn from that early.
Right.
Because I think as children are most impressionable when they're elementary school and toddlers
right.
is when they feel that peace. Then when hormones kick in middle school, when stuff gets crazy, a good chance they're not going to model that right away, but they know it.
Right.
And all of a sudden you start to see it later that you're not going to win at one time. It's got to be a lifestyle, a habit forever, knowing that you're still going to be imperfect, that will do that. And I even see that with my daughter now, where I've observed her in the distance not long ago. And I'll tell you, bro, like, she's 20, like, I was like, I was ready to, like, ground her for the rest of her life, right? Like,
right.
She's an amazing kid, but I was so wrapped up on some of these issues of courtesy.
Right.
All of a sudden, I see her modeling that somewhere else. And so I know she's hearing it.
Right.
I know that even though to me, because we're controlling, we're having that battle, she's still seeing that. And I think that I was like, oh, okay, be cool. Like, it was a... stay consistent.
Right.
Keep in mind, like you asked at the very beginning, what's your goal for your kids?
Right.
Happiness,
right.
whatever. Knowing right. that keep your mind there. And some of that is you're going to get kicked in the balls hard and told that you're a terrible dad when you're actually giving them the world.
Right.
But they don't really mean that. That's just where they're at, because it will come around and it will show.
Well, and back to the safe place.
Yeah.
They can come home and
Same
be a complete
difference.
Ass to you.
Yeah, and cool to their friends.
Right. Like, they're totally cool out in the world.
Same rule applies.
Right, same thing. They're going to come home, and this is safe. Like, they know.
That's good perspective.
I can be a complete shithead, and my dad's still going to wake up tomorrow and love me.
Yeah.
You know, I can not use courtesy, and I can leave my dishes in the sink, and I can do everything that he's asking me not to do every single day of my life. And guess what? He's going to get up tomorrow, and he's going to yell that the dishes are dirty in the sink. Like, but he's not going to love me any less tomorrow. So I think that very much is the same thing, you know? If you can come home and role model that I should be my best here for you people, your kids will maybe not show you that all the time, but they will take that out into the world, you know? My kid has done several projects for non-bullying at school and helping kids. Like, he came home in kindergarten. There was a kid that came to school every day that smelled dirty clothes, you know? I don't know. I didn't know the kid. I don't know his story. My son was empathetic to his situation and said, "Dad, like, I'll give up my Christmas if we can give this kid some stuff."
Atta boy, Jules.
You know, like,
it's good stuff.
That's not something, I don't know if it's something that was genetic or DNA or ingrained or taught or what, because my kid did without a lot, without his mom. He went through a lot and a lot of disappointment and a lot of reasons to say, "I'm entitled to be an asshole because my life sucks." But he looks at other people and says, "Wait a second, like, maybe my life doesn't suck." You know, this kid needs and I want. So I think that's a big thing. The bullying thing, like, you know, he came home from third grade and said, "Dad, there's a kid in my class that's being bullied and I don't know what to do." We started a whole project called Be Nice. And we do it every year for the third grade class to teach him, like, how can we be nice? How does that look in a real world? How does that look in a third grade perspective? How does that look on the playground? Like, yes, it takes character. Yes, it takes internal fortitude to be able to say, "Hey, knock that off." But I think if two or three kids do it and it passes along down generations, it's going to change. You know, in the world we live in now, cyberbullying, the internet, like, dude, you and I can say we understand, but we don't
flipping
clue.
If that stuff was around when we were growing up, I would have cried.
Oh, dude, if they had half the stuff we did on video, we're done. Game over.
I remember doing some mischief with you.
Yeah.
At times.
A few times.
Yeah.
I think so. But we didn't have cameras and nobody knew about it. So we were good, you know.
Sweet. Is it all right if we run into a little break for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hitting a...
Absolutely. All right, we're back. So I guess to kind of close out and finish up, my question would be, based on your beliefs in religion, are you willing to accept whatever your kids become or believe? And do you think that your parents would have given you the same opportunity as far as sexuality, religion, any of it? You know what I mean? Like, is that something that, based on what you believe, are you willing to say, okay, that's not what's best for them or what they choose? And do you think your parents would have given you that?
Yes to both.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that... You know, earlier we were talking about, you know, really when I look at my job as a father was to build the foundations of character so that they can be able to logic and reason and think for themselves.
Right.
And believe what they believe, not because if that's what I've taught them.
Right.
They have to believe. And so it'll be, I feel that if I've done my job the right way and if I can stick to the character of who I'm trying to be as a father, then I absolutely think that, loving your children no matter what path that they take
becomes a
non-issue, no question.
Right.
So that they know that they can always come home, like you were saying, the foundation, that they're always going to come back to mom and dad for support and love and encouragement, either way. And however it turns out, I think it will... and also earlier we were saying that I remember getting all wound up with my daughter because she wasn't hearing me.
Right.
But she was modeling it over here anyway. I think that I really truly believe that it'll all work out.
Right.
And all will be just fine.
Well, and I think a lot of it comes down to happiness too.
Yeah.
You know, are you going to let your kid be happy because they want what they want? Or are you going to be disappointed because you didn't get what you wanted out of your child, you know?
That would be the biggest failure as a parent.
I would think so.
To ever be disappointed in your child's choices on what they feel makes them happy.
Right.
And, yeah.
Regardless of your beliefs.
Yeah. Right. And I think that it's funny that, I think there's a, a stereotype maybe or a stigma, and I think it's justified because those who are most outspoken are the ones who put, who cast perception.
Right.
But I think in truth, even with Christianity, one of the reasons why those who really believe it, why Christ got crucified, was not because he was judgmental and excluding. It was they were mad at him for hanging out with the sinners.
Right. And accepting them as okay.
And not the priests. And
right.
So they felt undermined, and that was the catalyst to what actually got Christ crucified. So,
right.
I think that our core beliefs would be love unconditionally.
Right.
And happiness and the pursuit of... there's no such thing as perfect.
Right.
And even in Christianity, the only perfect one was Jesus Christ. And so to expect that... your design of perfection would ever come to truth is a fallacy in itself.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, baby.
And your help and all this and your perspective on being a dad. And we'll close with that.
Peace, Dad Nation.